Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
I want to read the scripture, if you would stand with me, in 2 Peter, the first chapter. Would you put it up for me? Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of God and Savior Jesus Christ. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us his glory, called us by glory and virtue. Stop. Read that again. Now read it one more time. See, y'all emphasize that all by yourself. Keep going. Here's a key verse. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance, godliness.
To godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love.
For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
For when you ask these things, be short-sighted, be into blindness, and as forgotten that he is cleansed from his old sins.
Let's read this together, verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Let's pray. Father, I just ask right now that your Holy Spirit would make the words that we speak and the things that we say spirit and life. That it would be glorifying to you, that it would edify each of us in ways that you only know we need to be edified. God, I pray right now that our hearts would be open to hear what you're saying. I take authority over every distraction of the enemy. We plead the blood of Jesus, and we ask that you set people free today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, you can be seated, but I want you to bow your heads again. I want you to get relaxed in your seat, bow your head, close your eyes, and I want you to ask God to speak to you. You can put your hand over your mouth, but I want you to speak. God, what do you want to say to me today? And let the Holy Spirit speak in Jesus' name. Now thank him for it. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to speak to us today. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. There's two things I noticed just now. I noticed that when you read that part, that scripture, verse 4, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that you focused on all by yourself. I made you say it again, but you all said it with more authority and more excitement and more what I would call fervor. Amen? Amen. So, we're going to ask for that fervor to transfer to what we hear this morning. How many of you ever heard the song or the phrase, promises, promises? Wave them high if you heard it. Okay, just about everybody. It's usually kind of in a negative connotation, but Back in the day, in the 60s, Dionne Warwick had a hit. It was remade in 2015 in the series Glee, the TV series. And the lyrics talk about how promises are made but then never kept. Promises, promises, remember? And it's kind of sarcastic, promises, promises. It's almost rude, like, yeah, 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 I heard it, you know what I mean? Isn't that how you think of it? That reminds me of a story. It's a true story of a dad who made a promise to his son to always be there for him no matter what the circumstances. In 1989, an 8.2 earthquake almost flattened Armenia, killing over 30,000 people in less than 4 minutes. Just massive murder, if you will. That dad was safe at home with his wife, but when the earthquake happened, he was concerned about his son, who was at school. Then he remembered the promise that he made to his son, that he would always be there for him, no matter what. He went to the school to look for his son. There were other parents out there looking for the son. The whole school is just flattened. So just imagine if this was a school, make it be three times as big as this, and it just was a pancake, just flattened. And he began to search for his son in the debris. There were rescue workers and other people that came to help, but for the most part, they just looked at it as an impossible situation, that no children could be alive. But he responded by saying, "Are you going to help me look?" So without much support, he continued to turn over rock after rock, debris, scarring up his hands and bleeding. And he just kept looking, calling out for his son, Armand. He searched for hours and hours. Then it was 8 hours, still searching and digging, looking, calling. Then it was 12 hours. Still searching and digging and calling. Then 16 hours. Then 24 hours. 36 hours looking for his son. That's called love. Finally, in the 38th hour, he turned over a rock and he was calling out and he heard a voice. And he called out for his son, Armand. And the response came back, Dad, it's me. I told the other kids not to worry. I told them that if you were alive, you'd save me, and when you saved me, they'd be saved. You promised, no matter what, I'll always be there for you. Armand's dad was able to rescue his son and others because he kept his promise to be there for his son. I want to remind you that God keeps his promise. God keeps his promise. We can receive the results of God's promise to us. Amen? Amen? So there's a behavior or there's a perspective that we should have when it comes to receiving the promises of God. It's called faith. Faith. Just say it with me. Faith.
Faith.
Say it again.
Faith.
Say it one more time. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith makes you act on God's word. The assumption there is that you know God's word. You can't act on something you don't know. How many of you have invested time in studying the scriptures and you know some scripture? Not that you know all the scripture, but you know some. This is a little detour, but I remember one time I heard that. I grew up hearing that faith is the substance of things, so it's the evidence of things not seen. It's good scripture. But I remember one time I was being tormented by the devil. And because of that torment, I thought, man, Jesus, when he was tempted, he resisted the devil with his fists. Y'all ain't laughing. That was a bad joke. He resisted the devil with the word of God. Amen. Every time the devil came to him, Jesus said, "It is written." Now, they didn't have the New Testament. So he was quoting from the Old Testament, from the scriptures, the Hebrew scriptures. And every time he said, "It is written," the devil was like slapping him upside his head. So faith, that we have faith, is based on God's word. And if you don't know the word, and that's a whole nother sermon, you can't have faith. And I remember when I was being tormented by that spirit, the only verse that I could think of, and it was early on in my walk with God, was John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." That was good. But you know, when the devil said to Jesus, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone," it was an answer to the direct temptation that Satan gave him to turn the rocks into bread. Because remember, Jesus had fasted for 40 days, and he obviously would have loved to eat some food, right? So he didn't come back with a non-scripture that wasn't with a scripture that wasn't applicable to the situation. He came back with, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Father." That silenced the enemy. So my torment continued because I didn't know any other scripture. And I couldn't think of any other one. So I went and got my Bible out. It was 2:00 in the morning. I just got my Bible. I just started reading Psalms. I just started reading everything out loud. And I don't remember what I read, but eventually I got to sleep. And over a period of time, I resisted the devil after a while with success until he left me alone. And the spirit of torment left me because I'd be up all night long, didn't get no sleep. But the devil is a liar. And when you resist him with God's word, you win. Amen? So faith makes you act on God's word. It makes you believe when in the natural realm, what you can see, feel, touch, and read or hear, when it says the opposite of God's word, faith gives you the fire and the ability to move forward. Faith means to stand on the promises of God's word. And I want to add this little thing, and it's called with expectation. With expectation. How many of us, let me back up, when you expect or anticipate what God has promised he will do, you kind of get your hopes up, right? You don't look at the glass as being half empty, you look at it as being half full. Because you believe God is going to do something. So you're always looking at, well, maybe God might enter in here. When you come up with a problem, you look at it and see how God might be able to do something. That's faith. Amen? So get your hopes up today. This morning, you just pray, "God, do something for me. Speak to me in some particular way," right? So get your hopes up. Expect that by the end of this service, God will have done that. We prayed that in the prayer room earlier, that God would meet us where we are. Every time we get together, God wants to meet us and do something to us, through us, and for us. Amen?
Amen.
How many of you feel like that this morning? Come on, say yes.
Yes,
yes, yes. Amen. Y'all are too quiet, man. I don't want you to go nuts, but excuse me. But when you get your hopes up, when you ever see anybody who's real perky and positive all the time, they're not walking around looking depressed, are they? How are you doing today? Sagging under the weight of whatever. But no, they come out, "Yeah, I'm doing great." Even if they're not feeling that way, they will say that. Because when they speak, they make their mouth say what their heart wants to say, and their mind and their body comes along. And so do the circumstances. They do, because we're speaking into the atmosphere. So expect God to meet us where we are. In the story we heard, the young boy was convinced that his dad would deliver on his promise to be there for him. God wants you to be expecting his involvement in your life in every way. We're living in a time when so many promises are being broken by all kinds of people in all kinds of places. I don't need to enumerate them. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Our politicians, our other politicians, our local politicians, our parents,
our friends, the jobs we work on. People say one thing and do something else. But God's promises are yes and amen. And they will be fulfilled. Expect them. I had a preacher friend of mine who's in heaven now, but he preached at Washington for Jesus back in the 80s, and he was the first tongue-talking Pentecostal that wouldn't be afraid to do it. And he was out on the lawn. His name was David Albritton. He's actually from Oregon. But he got up there, and they told him, now, don't be doing nothing spectacular. And he started crying, and he couldn't help himself. And next thing you know, he starts speaking in tongues, man. And the place went nuts in a good way. The fire of God fell on that crowd. It fell on him. He couldn't help it. But he used to say all the time, get your hopes up, get your hopes up. And I used to think, man, you just got a phrase and you're drilling it. But it's true. Get your hopes up. Believe what God has said. I want you to get your hopes up this morning. Believe God's promises. Part of getting your hopes up, you know, in terms of trying to get your hopes up, because you can kind of stir it up a little bit, you know, but when you get something that comes against you, you kind of fade. You know what I mean? Anybody been there? Yeah. So I know I have. On Sunday morning, yeah, I can chase all the devils. Sunday night, Monday morning, Tuesday, Wednesday, out of gas. Got to go to church Wednesday night and get refilled or something, right? But part of getting your hopes up is believing the promises of God, being consistent in your approach to God. In that verse in 2 Peter 1:5, it says, let me read it here. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence. Diligence. The definition of diligence says being careful and persistent work with work or effort, to be steady, to be earnest, and energetic effort. Careful and persistent work or effort. Steady, earnest, and energetic effort. That means to respectfully, regularly, with expectation, spend time with Jesus in his word, in prayer, in fellowship. Let me translate that another way. Spend time with Jesus in his word. Don't read the Bible. Oh, read the Bible every day. Read the Bible. In prayer, pray. Pray. Not the 30-second prayer that you pray on the way to the car while you're driving to work. Pray the whole time if you have to. Take 15 to 20 minutes when you get up in the morning and say, God, thank you for waking me up. God, today I give you my whole day. Lord, order my footsteps. Make me a blessing where I'm going. Speak to my life what you want me to know. And when I open up your word, God, speak to me specifically what he wants me to do. I guarantee whatever you have going on that day, that word of God will prepare you to overcome and be strong and have the right answer at the right time for the right problem. Amen? So that's part of being diligent. Diligent is to do it on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Can you guess what's next? Don't quit. Yeah, there you go. January, February, March. You know, after you made your good pledge in January to lose weight or do whatever, by February, it's gone. So February, March, April, May, and you celebrate on the holiday on the end of May, Memorial Day. And then you go, you know what? God was talking to me back in January, so I'm going to eat up. And then June, July, you're out having fun in the sun. August, what are you supposed to do? Read your Bible, pray. And what's the third thing? Fellowship. Somebody got it right. Anybody know what rooted is? Anybody ever heard of that? Really? There's your fellowship. Anybody heard of 10 o'clock on Russell and MLK at New Song Church? Something happens every, what day was that? Sunday. Every Sunday. So I'm speaking, I'm making a joke of it, but consider yourself to have been slapped. If you come to church twice a month, unless your job is the reason why, you're in default on your relationship with God. I use that word default because God is here and he's waiting for you. And if you show up twice a month or once a month, or if you feel like I'm beating you about the head and shoulders right now, I am. Because without fellowship, you can't last. You just can't. What's the opposite of diligent? Haphazard? Ooh, somebody said lazy. Another person said sluggard. That's not in my notes. But that sounds like a good example. When you don't come to church, man, I know the Super Bowl is over, but if this was October or something, your favorite football team is playing at 12 o'clock, you know what? You got a DVR, record it. And if you don't, they're going to play it again. Two or three times. That game should not be more important than your presence here. Or if you spend too much time hanging out on Saturday night, too bad. If you spend too much time hanging out on Sunday night, on Monday morning, where are you? At work. Should we give the world more than we are willing to give God? Man, a lot of y'all are in this, man. That's good. I won't get stoned before the service is over. Now, all of this, you're probably saying, what does this have to do with promises? Let me show you. If you want to believe the promises of God, being consistent in your approach to God is what gets God's attention. I'm going to say it this way. When I was learning how to play, and not to brag on myself or anything, because my ability to play and do music is totally a gift from God. I'm the first one and the last one to remind anybody of it. But I want you to know a few things. I was talking to my brother last night, my older brother, and he's the one that was a mentor to me musically. A lot of what I learned and know, I got from him. But he's 8 years older than me, so when he was starting college, I was just really learning how to play. But I started playing, listening to music at an early age. I sang with my family just in the house. We sang all the time. 3 years old, I could sing harmony like they do up here. I could sing parts without being told what they were. I knew what they were. I don't know why I could do that except that God gave me that ability. When I was 5 years old, or somewhere around that, I was in a service, much like we had here this morning, and the Spirit of God fell in the house. I was sitting on the front row, which is why I told y'all. How many of you were here at 10 o'clock when I said that about the front row? This is the place where all the good stuff happens. You should be here. Here's a reason why. I was sitting on the front row with my parents. I was 4 years old, maybe a little younger or older, but somewhere in there. I started school at 4 years old. So this is important. I went straight to first grade. But at 4 years old, the Spirit of God fell in the service, and when he fell, the whole place got quiet. And somebody spoke in tongues, and somebody interpreted. I don't remember what they said. I don't remember nothing that happened. What I do remember is that my heart and my mind were impacted by the Spirit of God. That's what happened to me. I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit. That presence of the Holy Spirit has never, ever left me. From the time I was 4, I don't mean I was walking around like a mighty man of God and preaching and stuff. What I meant was that whenever the Holy Spirit was present, because of that experience, I knew it was God. I sensed, I can feel God's presence right now. Every Sunday, my father would preach, and he would give the invitation. And when he would give the invitation, I would sense the presence of God. Over and over again, this would happen over my years of growing up. So by the time I'm 4 years old in first grade, they had what we now call public television or public radio, and they played some program. And this program said they were playing, telling the story of great musicians like Bach and Beethoven and Franz Schubert and Schumann and Chopin and all these people. And I heard, I don't remember who it was, but they gave the testimony of one guy being such a monster piano player that when he played, people in the audience were crying and weeping because the music was so beautiful. And at 4 years old, I didn't even know how to play. But I was like, I want to do that. I couldn't even think about playing. But somehow that dream went into my spirit in school. So go back to that experience on the front row. I sense the Holy Spirit. I get a desire in my heart to play music. And so then I went and sat down. We had an upright piano. I sat down at the piano. I saw my father play, my brother, my aunt, my uncle, my sisters, and all the people in our church. They would all sit down at the piano. And good things would come when they would do this. I mean, I could hear it, that it made musical sense, because I could hear harmony, remember? So I was like, man, they're playing. But then I sat down at the piano, and I started pushing my fingers like that, and it sounded like garbage. It was like, sound like crap. Just noise. So I said, there's something they're doing that I'm not doing. I don't know what it is. So between the years of 4 years old and about 5 and a half or something, I didn't think about it too much, but I started watching and paying attention, and one thing led to another, and then I sat down at the piano one day, and I started playing. And I started trying to play, I should say. And I learned where one note was and another, and one thing led to another, and then I started playing. And I began to play, and I got better and better and better and better. Now, I spent all that time to tell you that, and honestly, I do not remember why I told you. Except that God does fulfill his promises. Thank you for gracing me with that. I appreciate it. But it's true. God shows up. Here's where it was going. I just got it. I've been playing for several years. And I would tell people I started playing when I was about 7, but it was really earlier than that. By the time I was 11, I was good enough to play for a citywide crusade at the Apollo Theater in New York City. So I had to be halfway decent, all right? But one day before that time, I was fooling around on the organ. I told y'all many times ago I lived over the church, and we had a great organ and great piano, and I can go down and play it anytime I wanted. So it was one of the benefits of being a church mouse. I could play a good instrument anytime I want. And no one said, hey, don't play or do play. I just went down there whenever I felt like it. Go down there, play. So I was playing one day. My brother came in and he heard me playing. And he was like, learn how to read. Learn how to play the hymns. And he started getting on my case. But he got so mad at me when he told me that. It was like it shocked me. Because I was only doing one of the disciplines of being a musician. I was listening and imitating. But there were other disciplines, like practice how to play scales and do more diligent work. So I began to do that. And as I did, by the time I got to be about 16, I realized that my little bit of practice and I improved, but not as much as I should have. So when I moved from New York City to Seattle, my parents moved, I was 17. I finished high school in Seattle. In that 1 year, I had 3 music classes. We had 5 periods, an hour each period. three of my classes were music, and two of them, I was the teacher. This was back in the early 70s. So they just let anything go. But I had three music classes. And all I did was practice the piano all day, every day, for 3 hours. And man, my playing improved like 100-fold because I was diligent to practice. So that's what I'm saying about being diligent. It's persistent work every Sunday, every day, reading your Bible, praying. Every day you have a chance to fellowship with the believers, you do it. Every day. And if you're feeling like I'm being mean, I'm not. If you feel guilty about what I'm saying, it's not me making you feel guilty, I hope. I hope it's the Holy Spirit. And I want to clear up a confusion. I've heard a lot of people say this. You're just bringing me down. You're just getting on my case to make me feel bad. No. The truth, whenever the truth comes and it makes you feel bad, it's because the Holy Spirit is taking that truth and measuring you against it. And it's helping you to see that you don't measure up. And that's so that you can measure up. Not so you can stay in the place where you're condemned. Because the Bible says there's therefore no condemnation to those who are where? In Christ Jesus. So anything I said to you today is not me condemning you. You condemn yourself. But God's not condemning you. He's telling you this so you can change. Amen? So I told this to the choir, and I'm not going to get through this whole message, but I believe the Lord is here in this. The one thing that I told the choir recently is that, and I'm asking this of you, do you feel like God is drawing you to a higher call with him? Is that something you sense? If you do sense that, just don't lie, raise your hand. If you feel that, that's a lot of us. There's a reason why that's happening. Because God wants to do something with us as a church and you as an individual. And he's calling you to that higher place so that you can go there. So it means that your disciplines, spiritual disciplines, have to increase. You know what? If you're going to do better, you have to be better. You have to show up. Some of us, I won't say any more with that. Here you go. Diligent. Just be diligent. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God in him, in Christ, are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. For all the promises of God in him are yes. God's promises are yes. So what I'm saying to you, all of that I just said before, is to lead you to the point where you understand that God is calling you to a higher place because he wants to fulfill his promises in your life. In order for him to fulfill his promises, you have to make some effort. How many of you have ever bought a piece of equipment that you didn't really know how to use, or maybe a piece of software, and it has a manual, and you never read it? That's me. I'm gonna figure this out. I'm pretty sharp. I can make it work. That really doesn't work. But one of the things, one of the things that happens is that somewhere in the back, it usually says this, if you look in your refrigerator manual, it'll say, if the refrigerator's not working, on the left side it'll say that, and then on the right side it'll have problem, the left side, right side will say solution. So you know what I'm talking about now? Okay, so I'm going to read you some of these problems. If you're having financial difficulties, that's the problem. The solution is tithe and give offerings regularly. I didn't get but three amens over here. Okay, let me start out with another one. If you are lonely and want to be connected, that's the problem. The solution is Join rooted. Amen. Come to church every Sunday. Make some new friends. If you want to have friends, show yourself friendly. I mean, I had to get hit over my head with a 2x4. I remember I was probably almost 40 years old, and I only had about 10 friends, really good friends. 6 or 7 of them were in my group, and I spent 15 years with them. Lived with them and their wives, and my wife. We spent some time together. And my family, that was it. But I remember thinking, man, I talked to people and said, yeah, man, my friend, man, we've been friends since first grade or third grade. And you know, we're now 100 years old and we're friends, you know. And it's like, man, I don't have no friends like that. And my father-in-law said, well, if you want to have friends, be friendly. No, this way. If you want to have friends, be friendly. Amen? Amen. That feel better? So if you're depressed, problem, solution. Read God's promises every day and confess them out loud with your mouth. Let me read it again. If you're depressed, and this is not the only way, but this is one of the good ways. If you're depressed, problem, solution. Read God's promises every day and confess them out loud with your voice, with your mouth. Okay, if you're having financial difficulties, problem, solution, tithe and give offerings regularly. Amen. Oh, I got a few more that time. There we go. If you have habits that you can't break, bad habits, problem, solution, fast and pray while being accountable to a believer who will pray for and with you. Amen. Let me read that again. If you have bad habits that you can't break, fast and pray while being accountable to a friend, a believer. Don't be accountable to somebody who don't know the Lord. Be accountable to a believer who will pray for you and with you. Pray with you. Does that sound good? It don't matter. It's the truth. If you talk too much and say the wrong things, problem. Solution, ask God to put a spiritual muzzle on your mouth. Ask the Holy Spirit to prompt you to be silent. Seriously, I had to do that, so I'm not, I used to put foot in the mouth. Oh, yeah, I would do it all the time. This was one of my best ones. We're having a discussion on pride. And so I said, we're talking about humility, excuse me. Humility. Humility, is, for those of you who don't know, is the opposite of pride. So then I said, this was many years ago, I said, I pride myself in being humble. Yeah, see, you're all laughing. But you've done similar things, I know. There you go. If you want a husband or a wife, problem, ask God. Here's the solution. Or it might not be a problem. If you're unmarried and you want a husband or a wife, solution, ask God to prepare you for the right person. And then trust him to do it. Amen. Amen. I got some response on that one. Yeah. Some of you know what I'm talking about. If you need wisdom, problem, solution, ask God for it and read Proverbs every day. James said, if you lack wisdom, ask and he'll give it to you liberally. That means much. That was me. I didn't have no wisdom. As you could see by the last example. If you need a job, problem, solution, pray and then tell your friends you're looking for a job and you're available and then look, seek and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Don't wait for the job to come and open your door and ask you to come in. It don't work like that. Amen? If you want to experience God's presence, problem. Solution. This is also a commercial. The mic is on this side. This is also a commercial. Be at church to pray at 9:30 a.m. and then on the front row to praise God with your whole heart and mouth at 10 o'clock. Let me read that one again. I don't think everybody heard it. If you want to experience God's presence, problem. Solution, be at church to pray at 9:30 a.m. in that room right back there. There's fire up in that room every Sunday at 9:30. Come, you're welcomed. Sit on the front row, praise God with your whole heart. Open your mouth, be expecting God to show up. So I'm going to say this last one. If you're suffering from loss or grief, ask God to show you. That's your problem, but here's the solution. Ask God to show you what direction you should take. Then spend a lot of time in His Word learning His promises, because there's light at the end of that tunnel. I'm a living witness. Okay? Y'all heard the story. I lost my wife. I got another good wife. But I only got it by being in God's presence and seeking His face. And then He gave me the desire of my heart. Hi, baby. So here you go. Last one. Fill in the blank with your need. What is it that you need? Fill in that blank and then do what Philippians 4:6 says. Be anxious for nothing. Let me say that differently. Don't be anxious about any situation, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all your understanding, will guard your heart and your minds through Christ Jesus. Let me say it again. If you're anxious about anything that you're having a problem, that thing that you can't seem to win on, by prayer, talking to God about it. By the way, prayer is a twofold process. There's the time you talk to God, and then there's the time you listen. Both of those should be happening. So by prayer and supplication, that's spending time with Him, just reading His Word, meditating on it. It's an old word, but it means to spend focused time with God, prayer and supplication. God, I'm just coming here to hang out with you. Specific. God, I'm just coming here to spend time with you. Amen? Brooke, I just want to tell you, God wants you to spend time with Him. I'm not beating you up. I'm just encouraging you. There are many of you. I could call your names, but God wants you to spend time with Him. He wants you to spend time with Him. He wants you to spend time. I just heard a statistic, and it says the best thing you can do in raising your kids is to spend, and he spelled it out, time, spend time. It's not what you give them. It's not where they live and all that. It's how much time you spend with them. The same thing with us and with God. If you want to be like Jesus, spend time with Him. If you want to get your heart changed, spend time with Him. If you're depressed, spend time with Him. If you're grieving, spend time in His presence, worshiping, crying if you have to. I did it many days. I know what I'm talking about. And it works. Because in His presence is fullness of joy. Fullness, that means that it's overflowing. How many of you have ever been happy? Well, that's what you can be when you spend time in his presence. You'll be happy. You could be going through hell, but you'll be happy because God is with you. He'll take you and make you overcome and bless you and give you beauty for ashes. He'll return back to you that which the enemy stole from you. He'll change your mind. He'll change your heart. Things that you would never do before, because you love Jesus, you'll do it now. The time that you wouldn't, I don't want to read my Bible. You start spending time with God, real good time, you can't wait to flip this Bible open and get into it. Amen?
Amen,
amen, amen, amen. We're about out of time. So the promises that I was talking about, I'm going to read a couple of them to you just to cap this off. Matthew 7:7 says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened." So ask, and it will be given to you. Ask. You got to go to the Father in the first place. You can't ask in your mind. You got to open your mouth and ask. Right? Amen. Ask, and then it says, it will be given to you. This is a promise. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. Then in verse 8, it's the promise received. For everyone who asks. It didn't say for some of you who are preachers and pastors and really love God. It says everyone who asks. Everyone. That's you and me. Everyone who asks will receive. By the way, some of the things you ask for, God doesn't want to give them to you. So his answer is no. And it's a good answer. Right? How many times have your kids say, "Can I put my hand on top of the stove?" And your answer is no. Well, why not? Because you know the answer. And they don't listen. And you're at the emergency ward trying to figure out how to heal up the burn, right? Well, that's us sometimes. But our answer is that God answers. That's my point. Some of the things we ask for are not what we should have, so he doesn't give them to us. But the bottom line is that in verse 9 it says, "What man is there among you who, if his son were to ask for bread, he would give him a rock? Or if he asked for a fish, he'll give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more does our Heavenly Father in heaven, give us good things to those who ask him?" That's a promise. That's a promise. So Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Hebrews 13:5 says, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." That's God talking to us. These are promises. This is a great promise. Acts 1:8. Jesus is talking. He talked to the disciples. After he died, he came back. He told them to go and wait in the room. He said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." We're still living in that promise right now. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads. God, we just present to you each of us in our hearts. You know us better than we know ourselves. Holy Spirit, I just ask that right now you would help us to do what Jesus said, "Come, all of you who are weary and heavily burdened, and I will give you rest." So, Lord, I pray that you'll help us to come to you, to spend time with you, to learn what your promises are, to confess them, to believe you, to have anticipation and expectation that you will answer your promises, that you will do what we need done. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would bring conviction that leads to repentance, that leads to life, that leads to joy, that leads to success, that leads to being an overcomer.
Let this word go deep in our spirits. God, this week, let us hear what you say to us every day. Remind us of your truth. Remind us of the things that you spoke to us that we needed to hear. Cause us to be acceptable in the beloved, because your blood covers all of us on our sin. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Before we get ready to go, if you can keep your heads bowed, if that was you and there was something that God spoke to you, I'm just challenging you right now to step up to the plate. By that I mean I want you to admit it in front of somebody and say, God, I need you to show up here, whatever that is. Just raise your hand. You can do that by raising your hand. Thanks, James. Raise your hand. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. Thank you. If you need him to do something, then just begin by raising your hand and then open your mouth and say, God, I receive whatever it is that you need. If it's wisdom, if it's forgiveness, if it's love, if it's whatever, you fill in the blank and thank God for it right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're doing great work in this house. Lord, I pray for each person that had the courage to stand or say or mouth the situations that they're facing. And Lord, I agree with them right now that you are a good God, that you desire to give us good gifts, and that you will meet all these needs that are represented today by your riches and glory by Christ. We hold on strongly to the promises of God, because your promises are yes and amen. They're good. You're a good God. Thank you for that. Help us to walk away encouraged to be more like you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.